John chapter 19, and we'll start about verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. For Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And that's where we'll stop reading right there. You've got time this week. Sit down and read the whole chapter. Seem like these words kind of stayed with us the last few days. I want to go back to verse 15. It says, But they cried out, Away with him. And you say, How could people deny Jesus? How could they? How could they spit in his face? How could they pluck his whiskers? How could they blindfold him and smote him or smack him and say, Prophesy, tell us who it is that hit you? How could they take the time and be so cruel that they would risk injuring themselves to plant a crown of thorns simply to torture and torment Jesus? Force it down on his head and the thorns break the flesh and the blood pour down. How could somebody do something like that? How could they take him and take the lash and whip him? Tire his flesh till the blood poured down his back, and maybe his body was so ravaged and so weak that he even had a hard time climbing up Calvary's hill. How could they make a cross and then take nails and a hammer and nail him to the cross? Can you imagine as the nails pierced the skin and the blood flowed and he was beaten and wounded and bruised? And it wasn't a pretty situation. It was an ugly situation. It was one you would hide the eyes of your children from, and that was how they chose to treat Jesus, our Savior. And they put the cross up and stood it up, and he hung between the heavens and the earth, a thief on either side. He was crucified with men that were, I guess you'd say, evil. They were convicted and died a death that was a shameful death. The most cruel way that a man could die in that day and age. And that's what they did to Jesus. Who was they? Who was they? Some people might blame the Roman government of the time. The verse I read you said the chief priest said away with him. We have no king but said crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. So you could say the religious folks crucified him. If you want to know why he had to go, Look in the mirror.
Yes. That's right. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
When I look in the mirror, this sinner, sent him there. My sin, my depravity, my wickedness, my slothfulness. We don't think much of that, but could you imagine what God could accomplish in our lives if we would just get on with it and do what He'd have us to do? Yeah, I'm the reason that He went. And you are too. Can you see the crowd that day? And Pilate brought him out with Barabbas and said, which one will you have? Now here's two men. One that knew no sin. The Bible talks about Job being a perfect and upright man. Job's life would pale in comparison to that of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Job's life wouldn't even match up to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate examined him. He questioned him. And he could find no fault in him whatsoever. Amen. That's Jesus. Amen. Here's Barabbas, a man that was convicted, a murderer, a man that was in there for murder and sedition. Sedition is stirring up trouble. Is stirring up strife, is creating a riot, is creating something that would cause problems among his fellow men. And Barabbas was absolutely 100% guilty. No doubt whatsoever. The crowd knew it. Pilate knew it. Jesus knew it. Barabbas knew it. Now, which one do you want? Do you want the man that's never known a sin? Do you want the man that's willing to sacrifice himself for your sin? Or do you want the murderer? Do you want the one that's going to constantly stir up trouble? Do you see what I'm telling you about tonight? Do you see the irony? Do you see the rationale, the reason? It doesn't make sense, does it, that they would want a murderer? It doesn't make sense that they would want somebody that's going to bring them trouble. And yet they say, give us Barabbas. And yet they say, there's a man standing right in front of them that's about to give his life for their sin. There's a man standing right in front of them that his whole reason for being was just to give them pardon, was just to give them salvation. His whole reason for living his life was to help everybody else. And away with him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas.
Bless him.
They scourged him. They took a whip that had bits of rock and glass, and they whipped him and tore his flesh, and the blood poured.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've heard the story. You've heard it preached. You've heard it taught about.
Yes.
He leaves this scene. And he goes up Calvary's Hill, bearing the cross. And it had to be a pretty good size to hold him. It had to be at least, I'd surmise, 4 to 6 feet of that wooden cross that would go down in the ground so that they could stand it up and it would be steady and hold him while he was there for hours upon hours between the heavens and the earth. So it must have weighed a pretty good amount, wouldn't you say?
Amen.
And that's the cross they gave him to carry up Calvary's Hill. And he'd lost so much blood. till the soldiers that was escorting him was a little worried. And so they compelled one Simon to bear his cross. Here's a man that knew no sin. And one named Simon that must have been a sinner. And yet they asked him to bear the cross of Jesus. And I don't think he was volunteering. I don't think he jumped right up and said, "Yeah, I'll do it." The Bible said they had to compel him. Maybe even threaten him to get him to bear the cross of Jesus. Now you pray on for just a few minutes.
Bless you, Lord.
You know where it went. He went to Calvary. I told you they nailed him to the cross. They stood the cross up between the heavens and the earth. They offered him vinegar to drink. There's a song that says, "What an awful death he died to pardon you and me, all alone in agony tossed." That was him. That was Jesus. That was the man that they said, "Away with." That was the man that they said, "Crucify." And the man that they said, "Release." The man that they said, "Give us Barabbas." Do we read about him again? I don't recall another place in the Bible that we ever read what happened to Barabbas. So let me use my two or three brain cells to imagine what might have happened to Barabbas. What do you think was running through Barabbas' mind when he was standing before the crowd? A guilty man. As opposed to an innocent man. I'm sure he thought, "This is the day." I'm sure Barabbas thought, "I'm done for." I'm sure he thought, "Everybody knows what I've done. There's no doubt they caught me red-handed. I'm going to have to pay for this with my life." Scared to the bone, tears rolling down his face as he stood before the crowd. And he heard his name. He heard the crowd call his name. And he watched as they led Jesus away and they put the cross upon him and marched him up toward Calvary. He watched them walk off and then he made his way back down to the little house where he lived and he talked to his wife, hugged her up and loved on his kids and said, "Guess what? I'm pardoned. I'm free. I don't have to go to that awful place anymore. I don't have to live in that prison anymore. They released me and Jesus has taken my punishment." Oh, can you see Barabbas? Can you see the relief on his face? Can you see the happiness and the joy in his life because he's been pardoned, because he's been made free? And you say, how could they say, "Away with him"? How could they have said of Jesus, "Crucify him"? Those must have been some awful people. They must have been some wicked people. Let me tell you what they were. They were religious people. You want to know why church has got a bad name? Because it's affiliated with religion. That's why. People think at church is all about do's and don'ts. It's not. It's about worshiping a Savior that redeemed you. That's what it's about.
Amen.
Away with him. Crucify him. It was the religious crowd. Do you know why? He represented something that was about to upset their apple cart. He represented something that was about to change the way that people worshiped. They were into tradition. They wanted things done the way they had been done for years and years and years. And this was something new. I'm glad that this old time way still offers something new. I'm glad. Oh, preacher, we need new music. We need modern technology. We need a board that shows the words of the songs. We need the scripture displays. Bring your Bible to church and open it up and read it.
Amen.
Use a song book.
Yes.
And most of all, bring Jesus with you when you walk through the door.
Amen. Amen.
You didn't forget to comb your hair. You didn't forget your deodorant. But did you remember to bring Jesus? Did you pray before you came? Did you ask the Lord to come by and be with us? Are you willing to do what he'd have you to do? Listen, we had a wonderful service here the other night. We need more.
Amen.
You know what happens? We get satisfied. Away with him. Crucify him. Oh, preacher, if I'd have been there, you'd have been saying, away with him. You'd have been saying, crucify him. Not me, preacher. Really? Whenever we sit on the pew and God tells us to do something and we don't move, we're saying away with him.
Amen.
When we sit on the pew and God says, go shake somebody's hand, go ask somebody if they want to be saved, sing a song. Listen, we think that God's going to tell us to sing a song or to preach a message. It might be just to hug somebody's neck and say, I love you, and nobody else in the church knows. God works in the little things just as much as he does the big ones.
Amen.
So if you'll obey him, you won't be saying away with him. Whenever we go about our lives from day to day, and God says go to pray, and we've got 14 things. I had a day like that today. Seemed like one thing after another just piled up on me, and I had so much going on before I knew it. I was getting short and getting aggravated and things like that. Oh, listen, if we're not very careful in the day-to-day life, we forget to pray, we forget to read, we forget to think about the blessings that God has given us. And when we get that way, we might as well have been right in the crowd saying, away with him.
Amen.
Do you want him or not? Do you need him or not? We've got folks. I've got folks. Let me not speak on your folks. Let me speak on my folks. That don't seem to need him until sickness comes.
That's right.
They don't seem to ever want to come to his house. They don't seem to ever want to talk about it. Your folks like this.
Yeah.
My folks, I've got folks, they don't really want to talk about him. They don't really want to talk about him. And they're driving a dependable vehicle. And they're living in a nice home. And they've got good health. And they've got a good job that can pay for all those things. They're not hungry. They've got food in their refrigerator. They've got all they need to sustain them. And yet they don't want to acknowledge a God that gave it to them. They don't want to talk about him.
Amen.
He's been too good to me. How could I keep my mouth shut? I'm here to tell you today, he's wonderful. Oh, you know what happens whenever I don't acknowledge his blessings?
You know what happens whenever I take those for granted and say, well, I worked and paid for that. I might as well be saying, crucified, away with it. Listen, you may have that attitude, but one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the glory of the Father.
Amen.
What does that mean, preacher? What did God do? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
Now listen, I believe God has feelings like we do. Well, he's a God. He's omnipotent. What happens when you give somebody something and you don't get a thank you? You been there?
Amen.
You worked hard. You dished it out. And you spent your hard-earned money on somebody. Took the time to get them something you thought they might like. It was, oh well. They didn't acknowledge it. They didn't say thank you. No gratefulness whatsoever. What kind of thank you do you think we'd give God? What kind of thank you do you think that we've given God for the gift he's given us? He gave us eternal salvation. He gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he didn't say the Americans. He didn't say the Chinese or the Russians. This is what he said. Whosoever will should not perish but have everlasting life.
That's right.
You can buy a new car, and Tammy bought a new car last December. She had it a month. A rock flew up and a big crack in the windshield like that. Just that quick. If she continues to drive that car in another 5 to 7 years, it'll have a lot of miles on it. And it'll begin to break down and it won't be as dependable as it once was. I bought a new suit for Christmas. If I wear that suit consistently in about 3 to 4 years' time, the hem will come out of it. There might be a hole in it. The pockets will develop a hole, you name it. It'll wire thin, whatever. But the gift that God gave us is everlasting.
Amen.
It don't get old. It don't wire thin. I can't get outgrow it. It's perfect.
Amen.
Because it came through his only begotten, faultless Son.
Amen.
And yet, we have the gall, and yet we have the nerve, after somebody's given us a gift like that, to ignore his voice when he talks to us.
Amen.
Yet we are so unthankful. We are so unholy. And listen, I'm saying we. That means me. We are so unthankful. We are so unholy that we treat it as optional as to whether or not we should do God's will. We treat it as optional as whether or not we should go to his house. We treat it as optional whether or not we should read his word. We treat it as optional whether or not we should spend time in prayer. Well, let's go right back to his word. And I believe it's over in Galatians about chapter 6. There is a little verse in there that says, pray without ceasing. It all will, my life is so hard, preacher. I've got it so bad. Wait just a minute. Let's finish that little scripture right there. Pray without ceasing in all things.
Amen.
What's it say? In all things. Giving thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even for the things you don't like, you need to thank God for it. Really? Let's go on. I believe this one's in Ephesians. But I may be wrong, so you look it up. John referenced it earlier. Failing not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We got to go on, don't we? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And there's a lot more to that verse than what most people will acknowledge. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. Have you ever been in church physically and not mentally?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Well, I have. And you walk out the door and your spouse says something other to the effect, "Boy, that was a good preaching tonight." And you think, "What was it?" Have you done that? I have. "Boy, so-and-so sung good tonight." And you think, "Well, what did they sing?" There's more to assembling yourselves together than just physically being inside the building. What did God give you? His best. He gave you the best he had. What does he expect you to give him? The best you've got. It may not be much in man's eyes, but if you give him the best you've got, he'll honor and bless you for it. A lot of times I've been guilty of giving him my leftovers. Work like a dog, drag my dead carcass in. Mm-hmm. If you're so tired you can't move, drag your dead carcass on in here.
Amen.
Because the Lord can give you strength.
Amen.
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 And on the way, pray that God can give you strength and use you to help somebody when you get here.
Amen.
There's more to assembling ourselves together than just bringing our body. Now listen, scripture, you believe in King James Version Bible?
Amen.
I know this is not popular, but it's okay. This is what the Lord gave me for tonight. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, I think I do enough. Then you've not come near close to what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, you ever been there where you could see everybody's faults? You ever been there? I want you to look. I wish he'd hush. Well, looks like Ed know better than that. Have you ever seen a such in your life? Yeah, I have. When I look in that mirror. Assembling, what's it say? Present your bodies. You know why it's easy to see somebody else's faults? Because we don't want to admit our own.
Amen.
That's Bible. It says cast the mote out of your own eye.
Then you can help your brother with his beating. Present your body a living sacrifice. How do I know you're alive? I see you shaking your head right now.
Amen.
There's some movement there. How do I know you're alive? I see your chest rise and fall whenever you breathe. How do I know you're alive? Because I can hear your voice.
Amen.
There needs to be some life about us as Christians.
Amen.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice is? It's intended to please someone else. It's not my will, as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't want in the flesh. Read that carefully. In the flesh, he did not want to die on the cross. But he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to please God. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Without that, we are those in the crowd.
Amen.
Saved, crucified. Without we present ourselves something that God can use. Have you ever been guilty of giving him something he couldn't use? Have you been guilty of offering him something that wouldn't fit for use? In doing that, it's us saying, away with it. In doing that, it's us saying, crucified. You see, this is not fiction. This is not a novel. This is the living King James Version Word of God. Did you catch that? It's the living Word of God.
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the man of sin is. So do I need to go to church? Yes, you do. But exhorting one another. Some of you ain't going to like what I'm about to say.
Help him, Lord.
Bless him,
Jesus. I want to see your church grow.
Yes.
Did you know there's some growth that you're better off without?
Yeah.
I once had a boil. And you know what happened to it? It grew. And you know what happened as it grew? It got more sore and more sore and more sore until you know what happened to it? It burst. After it burst, the pain went away.
Yeah.
So was that boil growing? Was that good? You see, friends, we've got folks like that that will ease into your church, will ease into my church. Yeah, we've got one more number on the board. But they're sore. And all they want to do is see what's wrong. All they want to do is complain. And if you listen close, you hear it. Away with him. A lot of times, we put what we want ahead of what God wants. And let me tell you something about working for God, and I'll hush here in just a minute. It crosses the flesh. God will ask you to do things that in the flesh you absolutely will not want to do. We had some wonderful singing tonight.
Amen.
I can sing every song in the book. Listen, God don't want me to do that. I've got to do what God wants me to do.
Amen.
You've got to do what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
He's ever told you go fix things? He has me. You talk about crossing the flesh. You know, the hardest thing for us to do is to say, I was wrong. I am sorry.
Amen.
Are you married?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough to do with your spouse, but you do it with a rank stranger. You do it with somebody that's said ugly things about you. Mm-hmm. You do it with somebody that's talking to a family that's talked ugly about you. And God says, God says, love them, don't
you? Yeah.
And so you have to swallow your pride. Humble yourself. Go against the flesh and say, I'm sorry. And mean it. In this day we live in, nobody ever says, I'm sorry, unless they get caught. But if you're really sorry, you'll have some regret. If you're really, truly sorry, you'll have some remorse. If you're really, truly sorry, you will fix it and you won't do it again.
Amen.
It's hard for me, it's hard for you to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But we can't please God. I can't preach another message. You can't sing another song. You can't teach Sunday school. Oh, we can go through the motions. Sure we can. But we won't have a spirit if we're not where God wants us to be.
Right.
And the only way we can do that is to do what God's will is for us. And if it crosses the flesh, we just have to swallow our pride and do what God wants us to do. And without us doing that, I don't care if you sing every time the church doors open. I don't care if you're an elected Sunday school superintendent. I don't care if you're the pastor. If you don't do what God wants you to do, you're not going to do any good for God.
Amen.
His Spirit's not going to be with you.
Amen.
Is that not right?
Amen.
Remember not long ago I preached to you about Achan? You know what God told Joshua about Achan's sin? And at the time, Joshua didn't know it was Achan. God told Joshua, unless you get rid of the accursed thing, because Joshua was tore up. They had just lost the battle and lost 36 good soldiers. God told Joshua, unless you get rid of the accursed thing, I'll not be with you anymore. You'll not win another battle. You'll not receive another blessing. Your days will be spent every day just like the broken heart that you have today. And yet we say, away with it. And yet we say, I'm not going to do it. Crucify him. Well, I've worked hard. I've earned what I got. I'm just going to take it easy. If you don't work for God, there's no promise all that stuff you've got you'll have tomorrow.
Amen.
Now listen. And say this in honest. The Bible says this. It says it rains on the just and the unjust. I know. We've got doctrines that say, we've got evangelists that say, oh, if you work for God, he'll pour it all over you. That bank account will be full. You'll have the finest house. We've got people who believe that. Read it to me. Because it's not in the King James Version Bible. As a matter of fact, and I've heard Miss Gregg quote this scripture, it says if you suffer with him,
And yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
If Satan's not been around in a while, maybe you're not where you need to be. But I don't want to leave you with that. I don't want to leave you thinking that you're going to have to suffer. Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. But if you read on down three or four verses, that's Paul talking. He says, yet God has delivered me from them all.
Amen.
See? We're going to have to go through things. There's going to be storms. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be things that we face that we don't know how we're ever going to be able to handle. Until we quit saying, I'll deal with it myself, away with him. Until we quit saying, oh, I'll talk to my brother. He'll have some good counsel and some advice, and away with him. You know where a lot of our problems, you know where all of our problems can be worked out? Down on our knees.
Amen.
Between us and the one they said away with. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. This is Isaiah chapter 53. The stone that the builders rejected, they set away with. The stone that the builders rejected, they said crucified, has now become the head of the corner.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, that stone is the door. And the door said, no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
You see, friend, what are we going to say when we go home today? You know what we're going to do. Or are we going to say, what do you want me to do, Lord?
Amen.
Or are we going to ease off somewhere? Number 92 in the green book. Have just a little talk with Jesus. You know what he said. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. What are you going to say? You remember this, the in the Bible about Samuel and Eli gave him their advice? He had heard the voice three times, and he come in and asked Eli, say, yes, what do you want? And Eli would say, that wasn't me, son. Go back to bed. And the third time, Eli realized it must be the Lord. So Eli gave Samuel the advice, whenever he hears the voice again, just say, yes, Lord, I'm your servant. Speak to me. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to say? Are you going to say, yes, Lord? Or are you going to say, away with it? Let me tell you what happens to me. I'll wake up about 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and guess when the Lord decides he wants to talk to me? He needs me at a time whenever I'm not cloudy, whenever I'm not convoluted with the things of the world. A lot of times he'll give me thoughts, he'll give me scripture, and stuff like that, way up in the night. And I have to get up. And I have to go read. Or I have to go pray. I can say, yes, Lord. Or I can roll over. And I can say, away with it. You see, I'm not one bit better than the chief priest or the religious crowd that said, away with him, that said, crucify him. You're no different. I'm no different. What Joshua say? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. This is what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You make that choice every day. Every time you move on to something different or something new, you make that choice. Are you going to say, yes, Lord? Are you going to say, I choose you, Lord? Or are you going to say, away with you? Let me just say this. Did you know you can have just as much Jesus as you want?
Amen. Yep.
You can have just as many blessings as you want. God's not going to give you something you don't want. And if you don't want to live for Him, if you don't want to visit Him in His house, if you don't want to talk to Him, if you don't want to read about Him, if you don't want to hold Him in your hand, you're going to get exactly what you want.
Away with it.